Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of my sixth week talking about how to find and then how to follow the will of God. And we are now at the end of my fourth teaching in this five-part set on how to follow God's will. This is the fourth teaching talking about follow the peace. And today will be my last day to make this teaching available to you. So please write in and get these materials. We are going to continue the teaching on how to follow God's will next week. And then I'm also going to follow up with another five-part album entitled How to Fulfill God's Will. And I'm really excited about this because this is what changed my life, was finding God's will. It just changed me. It set me on a course. And I meet so many people that don't have a goal that they're shooting for. They aren't following anything. They're just going through life and letting circumstances, every wind, blow them around. They're like a ship with no sail, no rudder. And I tell you, that is not the way to live your life. If you do that, you are going to wind up destroyed on the rocks. You're going to shipwreck. You have to have a purpose. You have to have a goal. You have to pilot your life. And I've been talking about how to do that. And I tell you, I think it's been excellent. These things are things that God used to change my life. The last few days, and today's my last day to talk about this, I'm talking from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And this verse says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And I gave the testimony about how at a real young age, 18 years old, just a couple of weeks after God had really intervened in my life and I made this commitment to be a sacrifice and yield my life to Him, within just days, I lost my desire to continue with my secular education. I made a decision to quit school, but there was so much negative response and everybody told me I was missing God that I continued to go to school. But finally, the Lord showed me Romans 14:23, that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And I had to get in or out of school, but I had to do something in faith. Indecision was sin. And so that's when I came across this verse, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart." And I just made a decision on which I had the most peace about. I didn't have total peace about quitting school because everybody told me I was missing God. There was going to be a financial loss. I could be drafted and sent to Vietnam. And there's all these negatives, but I felt zero peace about staying. So I went the direction that I had the most peace about. And you know what? I have never, ever, ever, ever regretted it. I know that this, you know, I look back at this and it was such a powerful decision. And it set my life on a course that, I mean, I would have had to have backslid to keep from going the direction that my life went. It was tremendous. Yeah, I remember when my kids were 18 and thinking about, would they make that kind of a decision? Would they have the direction of God and the wisdom to do something if it could have cost them their life? And I just remember thinking, God, it's absolutely amazing what He did with me. Man, I'm blessed by it. And you know how it happened? First of all, I had made a commitment of my life to the Lord. You can't minimize that. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart, Psalms 37:4. And then, after I'd made this commitment, I lost my desire to go the direction my life had been going. I wanted to go in a different direction. And when I came up against criticism and all of the logic in the natural that told me not to do it, I just let the peace of God rule in my heart. And I made this decision, and yes, there were consequences, but you know, in hindsight, it was wonderful what God did in my life. And since that time, this isn't a verse that I just used 42 years ago, 1968. This is a verse that I use all of the time. I mean, all of the time. There's very seldom a day that goes by that I don't let the peace of God rule in my heart. Now, you have to make sure that your mind is stayed upon the Lord, because if you are out here living in the world and under the influence of all of this wrong thinking, and if your mind isn't renewed, if your heart isn't stayed on God, then you may have fear and doubt and turmoil about following God. But if you are seeking God, then you can follow that desire that's in your heart. And when you have a decision to make, a choice to make, you can just go with the one that gives you the most peace. Because Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And you just follow that peace. You know, right now we are in a situation where I knew something had to be done about our Bible college. We've got probably over 1,000 students involved in all of our Bible colleges worldwide, but we have about 400 and something right here in Colorado Springs. We can only accommodate maybe 550 to 600 in the place that we're in. And this coming school year, we should be over 500 or around 500 or more. So we are right up against the barrier. And I realized last year I needed to start making some plans. So we've made some interim plans with the church next door that will handle us to 1,100 people. But we had to start deciding about, God, should we build? Do we go rent a place? Do we separate the ministry? Do we do all of these kind of things? Now, see, these are critical decisions. I know God's will is for me to have a Bible college. I really believe that this Bible college is already making a profound impact, and I believe God is going to elevate it to a level to where we will have over 2,000 or 2,500 students. And through that, I really believe we are going to impact not only the United States, but the world. And in order to do this, you can't just do this in a little facility that will hold 600 people. You can't even do it splitting the facility next door in our facility so that we could accommodate 1,000. If God has shown me that we're going to have 2,500, we got to do something. So I needed to make a decision. And if it was going to be built, well, then we had to start doing something now, because it takes time to get permits from the city. It takes time to raise the finances. It takes time to build. And the school is just going to continue to grow. So either we would have to limit the growth, or we would have to build. So anyway, long story, I'm not going to go back through all of this. I've already shared part of this on our television program, but I'm using this to illustrate how you let the peace of God rule in your heart. As we started deciding what to do, we looked for places here in Colorado Springs, and they were places that were way out east. I live way out west. Out east of Colorado Springs is the plains. And there's nothing on it. And matter of fact, the mountains are way in the distance. I love the mountains. I live in the mountains. I live up at 9,000 feet elevation. Colorado Springs is 6,000 feet. And you know what? I would move if that's what God wanted me to, but I didn't have any peace about it. God has given us a special place. I just love it. And so anyway, I'm saying all of this figures into me following God's will. As we thought about buying in Colorado Springs, first of all, I just didn't have a desire to build way out east at Colorado Springs. Plus, it was going to be a minimum of $20 million to buy bare ground with no utilities, no improvements, no nothing. $20 million. Man, I didn't have any peace about that. And long story, but as we kept looking, we found a place in the mountains of Colorado, just 15 miles from Colorado Springs. Colorado Springs is 6,000 feet. This is at 8640, so it's quite a ways up the mountain, but it's only 15 miles, so it's still convenient. And we found a piece of property, 157 acres, for $4 million, and it has a $2.5 to $3 million lodge on it. When you compare that with everything else that was available, and we look at our options, I did exactly what this says. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let me ask you why you would spend $20 million for bare land when you could get twice or three times as much land with a $3 million lodge on it for $4 million. One-fifth the price for something with 10 times the potential. You know what? As I looked at our options, I just let the peace of God rule in our heart. Now, if some reason the property in Colorado Springs would have been better, and if there would have been other advantages, and if that's what I felt God wanted to do, then I would have had peace about that. But you know what? This was much, much better. So anyway, you know, I'm letting the peace of God rule in my heart. I've done this so many times that I've got a confidence in it, and this is how you find God's will. I remember when I pastored a little church in Pritchett, Colorado, that when I came there, it was in the winter, and the people who were the leaders of this little church, there was only 10 people in it at first, but we saw a man raised from the dead, and pretty soon we had 100 people coming. And this little tiny church in a town of 144 people didn't know how to handle all of this. And the people who were the elders, the leaders in this church, were custom combiners. And all through the summer, they followed the wheat harvest, and they traveled all the way from Texas up to Canada. So they were gone for 6 months at a time. So the leaders of the church were leaving, and they wanted to put in another elder who would be there to help me handle the growth and the things that were going on in the church. And they suggested this one man. And actually, when I came to that church, they had been taught that everything I was teaching was of the devil. And there was a lot of resistance. But when we saw this man raised from the dead, it turned them around. And they allowed me to minister, but they were still skeptical about it. It was just contrary to everything they'd been taught. And this man that they suggested to become the elder is the only person in the church who embraced me with open arms when I came. And he had already been exposed to the type of teaching I was doing on the grace of God and stuff. And he embraced it. He had me and my wife over to his house, and he was friendly to me. And there was nothing in the natural that was a red flag about this guy becoming an elder. But yet when they wanted to put him in, I immediately just didn't feel peace about having him in. And they asked me, well, why not? He likes you. He supported you. He's done this. I didn't have an answer. There was no logic. I just didn't feel peace. I didn't hate it. I wasn't mad at him. But I just didn't feel peace. I didn't feel right about it. And you know what? I was young, and these people were pressuring me. And because I didn't have a logical answer, boy, I pray that you're listening, because this will speak to some of you right here. There are some of you that in your heart, you know something, but you aren't going with your heart. You're letting just conventional wisdom, circumstances dictate and control your life, and you aren't following what's in your heart. That's what happened to me. And so because of this, I allowed them to make this man an elder. They left on their custom combining, and I mean within 1 week, this man turned from a friend and a person who had embraced me to Satan personified. He told people I was stealing money from the church, which I didn't even have a salary. And yet he said I was stealing the money. He said I was committing adultery. He said I was on dope. He said I was getting drunk. He accused me of using profanity. I mean, all the things I've never done. He just started lying about me and doing everything he could to destroy that church. And when he did that and he flipped, you know what? The first thing I thought was, I knew in my heart not to do that. I didn't know how I knew it. There wasn't any answer. I didn't hear an audible voice. I just had a lack of peace. And I was hesitant about doing it, but I went ahead and did it because I didn't have a good answer about why I didn't want to do it. And you know, when this man, I mean, caused me much grief and a big problem, I made a decision right then. I'd already seen this truth about letting the peace of God rule in my heart. I'd used that during this time in 1968 to make my decision about dropping out of secular school. And I'd used it many times since. But this time, I just waffled on it, and the consequences were so bad that I made a decision that I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to live this way. And I just made a decision that, you know what, even if I'm wrong, I am not going to violate what I feel peace about. If I make a decision, God would love me more following the peace that's in my heart and doing the wrong thing than me just following logic and doing what people say and stuff and making a major mistake. So I just made a decision that I'm not going to do this again. And, you know, there's lots of times that in the natural, it looks like I should be going some direction, but if I don't feel peace about it, I just don't do it. And it has saved my bacon many a times. Amen. I remember when I moved my mother from Texas up here to Colorado to come to work for me, and I was driving her U-Haul truck. It was a 17-hour drive. And I had been to Costa Rica before, ministered in a Bible school, saw awesome results. It was so powerful, they wanted me to come back. So the next year, I had already scheduled. I'd already bought my plane tickets. I was ready to go. And as I drove this U-Haul truck for my mother, moving her from Texas to Colorado, I started praying about going to Costa Rica again. And at first, I was real excited because I'd had a great time the year before. But as I started praying about it, I lost my peace about going. I didn't want to go. I didn't desire to go. I even got to where I desired not to go. And so I wanted to make sure that I was truly delighting myself in the Lord and I was putting God first. And so I prayed in tongues for 17 hours while I drove that truck. And the more I got in the presence of God, the more my mind was stayed upon God, the less I wanted to go. So I called up the people in Costa Rica, told them I wasn't coming. They took great offense. They'd already advertised it. They'd already made plans. People were already coming. And they said, why wouldn't you come? And I said, I don't know why. I just don't desire to go. I just don't want to go. And I didn't have an answer. Did you know what? They got upset and they've never invited me back to Costa Rica. But I found out later that that plane that I was scheduled on, when it took off from Mexico City headed for Costa Rica, it crashed and killed 169 people on board. And you know what? God warned me about that, not in an audible voice, not in a prophecy that says the plane's going to crash from Mexico to Costa Rica. He just changed the peace or the lack of peace in my life. And I've come to realize that if you are seeking God, that in your spirit you have peace 100% of the time. And when you're faced with an option, it doesn't matter if it's buying a house, buying a car, getting married, choosing the job, whatever it is, if you can quiet yourself, your spirit has total peace, God's peace, in a certain direction. And all you've got to do is separate between soul and spirit and get out of your emotions and out of your mind and get into your spirit, man. What do you feel in your heart? And if you'll follow that, it'll never lead you wrong. This is how you find and follow God's will, is by the peace that's in your heart, Colossians 3:15. And if you'll do that, it's really that simple. It'll never lead you wrong. Some of you may not have some of these real dramatic things where, you know, a plane crashes or something, or somebody tried to destroy your church because you didn't follow the peace. But I bet you that every person watching this program right now has had something in your life where you had to make a decision. You felt in your heart a reservation. You didn't feel peace. And yet you let logic or people, circumstances control you. You made a decision. And then after you made it and everything worked out wrong, I bet you every one of you have had something where you said, I knew I wasn't supposed to do that. How did you know? You just know in your knower. You just have a peace. And the sad thing is, most people look at that as being totally illogical. You can't follow the peace that's in your heart. This is exactly what the Lord told us to do in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And you know, this is what I've done, and it has made a huge difference in my life. It's awesome. And I would recommend it for you. So this is now the end of my fourth teaching in the series on how to follow God's will. The next thing we're going to be talking about is how that in your spirit you already have the wisdom of God and it's just a matter of drawing it out. And I'm going to specifically talk about praying in the spirit, praying in tongues, and knowing how to interpret what you've done. And I tell you, if you take all of this together that I've been teaching, this has the potential of radically changing your life. You know, these stories that I've given you, I wouldn't be alive today if I hadn't let the peace of God rule in my heart. I would have gone through school. I would have become a school teacher, a secular school teacher. And you know what? I would have loved God and God would have used me. And there would have been a few individuals touched, but I wouldn't have been on television. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I wouldn't be building a campus to accommodate 2,500 or 3,000 students that are going out and literally changing the world. I wouldn't be doing any of these if I didn't follow the exact same things that I'm telling you. I'm telling you, this has just made huge, huge difference in my life. Huge difference. I don't have the words to express to you how important this is. And it's so simple that sometimes people miss this. They don't see that this is God. They would rather have a vision or a dream or an audible voice And God can and has done all of those things. I'm not saying that that can't happen, but I'm saying it's not going to happen to the average person. I've never heard an audible voice. I've never had God appear to me. I've never seen anything with my physical eyes. I've had a vision in the sense that God speaks things to my heart. And just like I say, think of an apple, you picture an apple in your imagination. I've pictured and seen God doing things, but I've never, with my eyes open, seen anything. I've never heard an audible voice. I've never had an angelic visitation. And yet my life, you know, to some people it may not mean much, but from where I came from, I hadn't arrived, but I've left. It is absolutely miraculous. I am seeing God do things, and I'm telling you how it happened. I'm just sharing with you these real simple things. I think that many people miss God. They're trying to make it too complicated. They're trying to make it too supernatural, too special, when the truth is that God delights in showing Himself in ways that it takes faith to perceive. You know, Jesus could have come to the earth on a 747 jet. That would have gotten attention back in the days of, Pilate and Herod. And yet He came in a way that it took faith to believe that He was God. He could have done things in a way. After He rose from the dead, He could have hovered over Jerusalem and have shown those hundreds of thousands of people that were there and saw Him crucified, that He was resurrected from the dead. And yet there isn't a single scriptural example of Him appearing to any person after His resurrection except people who already believed. He didn't force people to believe. He gave enough proof. There is ample proof of His resurrection. But He does things in a subtle way, because the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so I know the things that I've been sharing, this is really simple. And some of you think, hey, it's got to be more complicated than this. And you're looking for the spectacular. In a sense, you're like Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. That the Lord told him to go out into the mouth of this cave and that He would speak to him. And there came an earthquake that was so bad, it rent the rocks. There was a fire that was so intense, it melted the rocks. Then there was a wind that was so strong, it broke the rocks. And it says God wasn't in any of these spectacular, supernatural things. And finally, He heard just a little, still, small voice. And man, He was overcome. He wrapped His face in His mantle and fell down before God, and God spoke to him. I'm telling you, with the vast majority of us, it's not going to be the spectacular that God uses. It's just that still, small voice on the inside saying, you know, I don't feel good about this. I don't have peace about this. He'll lead you through these things. And I'm telling you, that's God. That's as much God as if you saw an angel. And I'm giving testimony that I've operated in this, and it has served me well, and God has never led me wrong. And praise God, it works. I recommend it highly. Remember, today is going to be my last day to offer you this fourth teaching in this set on how to follow God's will. So please listen to our announcer as he gives you the information about how you could call or write and get these materials. And please take advantage of them. And then join me again next Monday as we continue this series on how to follow God's will.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Follow God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order.
Let me remind you one more time that today is my last day to offer you this individual teaching entitled Follow the Peace. And this is what I've been teaching for the last 3 days on this program. And this is a part of our album entitled How to Follow God's Will. We will continue to offer the album next week for a gift of any amount. But some people cannot or would not send any money to get the album, and so we offer each individual teaching in the album one at a time free of charge. My partners have enabled me to do that. And so today will be our last day to offer you this teaching entitled Follow the Peace as our gift to you. Listen to our announcer and then call or write today.
You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Boston, Massachusetts this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 12th through the 14th and in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 12th through the 17th. He'll also be in Johnson City, Tennessee September 18th through the 19th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference October 4th through the 8th, and in Buxton, Derbyshire in England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference October 18th through the 20th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I want to give you a quick update on our project here in Woodland Park. We've called it the Sanctuary, which that word means a place dedicated to the glory of God, and that's what this place is. And we're in the process of moving out here. We purchased this 157 acres in September of 2009, and since then we've been going through permit process. The plot that I'm on right now is where our buildings will sit. The view behind me of Pikes Peak is where we will be building these buildings. It's going to be awesome. And we are now in the process of going through all of the permits, all of these processes. And we hope that in the summer, probably at least before August of 2010, we'll be able to start putting in the roads and putting in the infrastructure, the utilities, electrical, water, sewage, all of these things, and give access to the building site so that we can begin the excavation and the actual building process in 2011.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature.